It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And we are off and running for yet another live broadcast on the horn as we run downhill toward what we hope will be the first vacation in 12 years of progressive liberal broadcasting. First real vacation. That's a program note or a sort of a roundabout way of getting at it. If the vacation happens, then there will be no live programming next week. No live programming on any of the days next week. Neither the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, 10th, or the 11th. If we can make the vacation happen. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that is, in fact, where you go. If you would like to participate in the madcap multimedia real-time wacky zany extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, just go there, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be immediately met by the likes of Anatole and Jug of Punch and Laborman and Squeaky and VT Blom and Midweek Utility Pinch Hit and all-around great guy moderator, chat room moderator, Steve from Georgistan. Okay? Really, you're welcome. It's a lot of fun. And, yes, Anatole, Agnes is looking forward to it. And so now all we have to do is make it happen. Now, as is always the case with the beginning of the program, a gentle reminder, this is a listener-supported program. We have a handful of subscribers. And, yeah, I'd say we've got, maybe 60 subscribers. Got a handful of subscribers. And there's a subscription push on, I'll remind folks. I set up a campaign over at Patreon, Patreon.com. And the sole purpose of this campaign is to reach that 400 $10 a month subscription level. If you're already a subscriber through PayPal, it's working fine. Don't do anything. If you're not and PayPal gives you the creeps or something, that's what the Patreon campaign is for. And remember, if you sign up for a $10 a month subscription, you get a horn bumper sticker. If you sign up for a $20 a month subscription, you get two. You get both the horn bumper sticker and the unique, exclusive, designed by member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, our buddy Scott, They Want It All bumper sticker, complete with the pig in the top hat with the dollar sign on it. Yes. So that's what the Patreon thing is about. Again, Patreon, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid, K-I-N-C-A-I-D. It's just that easy. This is, by the way, the second day of August, 2017. We'll have Only again, for the third day this week, it's only a two-hour program simply because this is the third and final night of me filling in for Mike and Kathy, the Mike Malloy Show, over on Progressive Voices. And thanks again to everybody who helped make the Mike Malloy Show trend number one again last night on TuneIn. Once more, I'll have the horn and headon.live streams going. But if you're going to listen to Mike, please listen via TuneIn so that we can once again beat Fox News and stuff like that, because that's just really freaking cool to be able to say that. Okay. Well, I'm sorry, Clarity. Clarity says, "Well, my therapist is going to be gone next week. My peer counselor's going to be gone next week. Now you go, arrivederci, Roma. So alone next week? Okay, go ahead. I'll do a little better. I'll do a little better job with the scheduling next time. But seeing this house the first time in over 12 years, you know, it's not that crazy. I mean, I've been gone from the. Yeah, I was gone for about 3 weeks back when my father died, back in 2007. That was not a vacation. And yeah, I've been gone a couple of other times for purposes of doing work on the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act in D.C. On a number of occasions, I took the mobile rig with me, and we broadcasted live from the basement of the Methodist building. Yes. But this, the idea here, and it's, look, it's going to be a struggle. Agnes is probably going to have to do what John Kelly has already done with Dolt 45, to wit, take away my electronic communication social media devices. But we're gonna relax. We're gonna let the world go to hell in a handbasket, if that is the desire of the world. Nah, who are you kidding? I mean, I'll still see the news and everything. I won't be completely discombobulated. But that's the and so toward that end, with the goal of getting all the bills paid and everything taken care of, and stocking up the larder, the pantry, doing all of that stuff. For Ferg, who will be here, well, we're doing the usual fundraising, and I have an announcement for this evening. And this is and by the way, this being the second day of August 2017, the second day of August 2017 happens to fall on a Wednesday, and Wednesdays around here are something special, far more than just the middle of the week or hump day or downhill to Friday. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And that means, of course, that we had a lovely meal in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. You know, every silver lining has a cloud. So it is with the lovely couple of months after our anniversary gift that Agnes gave me, the new Acorn cooker. It worked so well with pulled pork, it worked so well with ribs, it worked so well with chicken, that the little old blue-haired ladies, who I think they're getting a little bit lazy, because they looked at me and they said, you know, Bob, we need you to smoke up a couple, dozen or so chickens for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, Fellowship Hall dinner tonight. And, of course, how can you tell the little old blue-haired ladies no? So I did. They meanwhile, I mean, they weren't completely laying down on the job. They were homemade creamy coleslaw, yeah, little Jell-O and fruit salad, some green beans and corn, potatoes, succotash kind of thing, you know, new potatoes, that little round ones. And made a big, well, several, because, you know, Fellowship Hall dinner, beautiful, beautiful lemon pound cakes with a little scoop of ice cream on the top. But if I'm not careful, I'm going to wind up doing all the meat entrees for prayer meeting Wednesday. This thing works so well. This, by the way, is a non-paid product placement for the Acorn Cooker by Char Griller of Sea Island, Georgia. Agnes got mine at a really, really, really steep bargain, but even at retail, it's about $1,000 less expensive than a big green egg, and a little less prone to breakage because it's not ceramic. I'm sure it'll wear out, but just the same. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Sylvia. I do appreciate it when you guys catch my little moments. Sylvia with a note saying, give yourself a cowbell for discombobulated. Well, thank you. I will. I will indeed. So, yeah, we had some people say that the beer can and beer can chicken doesn't make any difference. Other people say that it does. I'm one of the latter. There's nothing like pouring out a half a can of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. The earth doesn't like it any better than human beings do. But anyway, pour out about half the can, stick it up the chicken, use it to prop up the chicken inside the smoker, brine the chickens the night before, cover them with your whatever you like in the way of a rub, and let those suckers smoke till they get to about, 165, 170, 180 degrees. And you got something you can work with. Just, you know, hack them right down the middle and then hack them again in two so that you got chicken quarters. And everybody pretty well happy. And so the little old blue-haired ladies were especially happy because all they had to do was the sides. And so we had a magnificent chicken dinner in the Cathedral of Common Sense Fellowship Hall. The deacons went through the ice cream and the lemon pound cake as if it wasn't even there. And then they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs where they waddled out into the parking lot to smoke with the sinners. The sinners always come around because those SEC brand, otherwise known as somebody else's cigarettes. They'll look over at one of the deacons and say, pardon me, brother, can you spare one? Well, certainly, certainly, friend. And it works like that. But their reveries were cut short, as they always were, by the arrival in the vestibule doorway, of Sister Carol Baker with the official horn solar-powered cattle prod crackling madly away in the humid summer air, at the first crackle of which those previously slow-moving deacons put wings to heel, as Dim Leader used to say back during the reign of error, and blew right through the vestibule door, right past Sister Carol, who maybe lightly tapped a couple of them with the solar-powered cattle prod, right on past that desiccating bowl of butter mints, roared right down the center aisle and lined up right smart-like here at the front of the sanctuary, where they are waiting, brethren and sistren, waiting, I tell you, waiting, to take those heavy, heavy, heavy brass, blood-red velvet-lined offering plates and pass them amongst the congregation. Absolutely. So here in a moment, we will bring up the minister of music for the offertory hymn. And I have an announcement. In an effort to get all the bills paid, in an effort to get Agnes and me out the damn door on this vacation, I received a communication from Sister Chris in Germany, who has put a challenge in the offering plate. Now, the way these things work are, you know, if the challenge gets met, it's wonderful and it's tremendous help. If the challenge doesn't get met, So there is a challenge, a prayer meeting Wednesday challenge out there, brethren and sistren. In order to finish completely matching our buddy Scott's vacation challenge, Sister Chris has put into the offering plate a $500 challenge. There it is. If we can find five members of the Horn Family Community Congregation here in the early days of August to kick in, whether it be $5, $10, maybe you haven't done a subscription and you want to do that. Well, if we can find 10 at 50 or 50 at 10 or 25 or 100 at 5, Chris will double the money. And we'll pay bills like crazy people and get out the door and head for a distant hideaway where Agnes and I might, maybe, who knows? You know, we were young, we were busy 24 years ago, didn't do a honeymoon. Well, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. So there is a $500 challenge in the offering plate. And brethren and sistren, I'm going to call up the minister of music right now. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sistren, hallelujah, glory. In a most prayerful state of mind, help, amen. The deacons will waddle amongst you and pass around those heavy brass plates. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, well, keep one scrunched open just a wee tiny little bit so's that you won't get brained with the... Those plates are heavy, but there's a PayPal button in the bottom of them. So when the offertory hymn is being sung, just pass it amongst you, and let's see if we can meet Chris's challenge and have a prayer meeting Wednesday, homemade cathedral of common sense miracle. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST.
Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Oh, brother and sister, and it is. It's the beginning. It is the beginning of a prayer meeting Wednesday miracle. It truly is. Oh, glory. As the plate passed amongst the faithful, I received notes from Sister Charlene and Brother Matt. And Brother Matt came in first, and he said, I'm down for half of that challenge. And Sister Charlene came along and said, put me down for 100 of it too. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise, praise, praise. Yes, indeed, brethren and sistren. So that leaves $150 to go to help glory meet. Sister Chris's prayer meeting Wednesday challenge. Amen and amen. Oh, what a wondrous, wondrous thing it is indeed. Thank you, Brother Matt, and thank you, Sister Charlene. Thank you so very, very kindly. Brethren and sistren, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. We got some good prayer meeting Wednesday testifying to do. Amen. Glory. But I calling you now that the plates have been passed, and as the deacons move amongst you, once they get past you, just get up on off of your seat and onto your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on out. Glory to the center. To the center of the cathedral, and then just move on down that blood red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar. Help! And feel the healing rays of common sense a flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid. And yes, it is a glorious prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. You know, and I'm just, if you're sort of out and about there in the Bay Area, if you happen to be driving through the Castro or anything there, Brother Matt, I would suggest this is the time to roll the windows up, lest you start getting those dirty looks again, because we don't want it right. You know that the good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals of the religion industry, those fine Christians, brethren and sisters, you know that they have been deeply concerned about the moral turpitude that envelops and enshrouds and engulfs our once great nation because of, you know, transgender military people. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, they're so upset. And we've heard from their own personal representatives, folks like Steve Cantaloupe's King and Louis Asparagus Gohmert, ha! Talking about how the Ottoman Empire used to perform transgender surgery by castrating Christians to create their Janissaries. Mm-hmm. I always thought the Janissary was the place where the maintenance staff went for lunch and snacks and things like that. You know, it was the janitor's commissary, the Janissary. But it turns out it weren't. It was transgender surgery as performed by the Ottoman Empire before there was even transgender surgery. Yes, they're terribly upset, brethren and sisters. They are. And David Barton, you remember David Barton? David Barton, who founded that outfit called Wall Builders. Back before Comrade Kumquat was even, his presidency was even a twinkle in his gimlet little eye. David Barton founded Wall Builders. And David Barton has become famous. He's a non-academic academic. He's a guy who makes stuff up. He just makes up history. In fact, he's so prone to doing it that his own publisher once said, no, sorry, we're not going to publish this book. It's a filthy tome of lies and shit that you made up by yourself and has no relationship with history. You could say that David Barton is, in fact, he's a patriarch of the fake history, fake news movement. Because, as we like to say here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level West by Cold Trump Jr. stand, the truth ain't in him. And so it is that taking in hand, which is probably the entirely wrong term, the twin issues of the recent health care debate and the kerfuffle over trans people in the military. Well, he sort of made a kind of a bigot parfait out of it on his little program that he calls Wall Builders Live, and as the Minister of Music so rightly points out, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Here, then, David Barton, professional liar, to explain to us all how it is that health care costs got the way they are. Want to bet on who? I bet you. Yeah. You know, we don't have to wager, do we? There's no betting involved, because we all know who he's going to blame for the high health care costs, don't we? Yes, we do, friends and neighbors.
Here's my health care problem I've got right now. The most expensive cost for health care in America per person is not seniors.
Damn, I thought he was going to say that his health care problem that he had right now was that he had a worse form of brain cancer than John McCain. Damn it! Missed it by that much.
It's not those who live to be 100 years old. The most expensive health care cost in America right now, by far, individually, is for homosexuals. They cost more in the system than any other, hands down. And you'll find that all over insurance stuff, they all admit. But see, I'm not homosexual, and I don't have those health problems. As a matter of fact, I don't smoke and I don't drink, and so I don't have those health problems. As a matter of fact, I really exercise a lot. I control my diet.
Well, son of a bitch, he's going to live forever, isn't he? I mean, he don't drink, don't smoke. He's a regular little Lord Fauntleroy is what he is. And he's a man of God too. Don't you love hearing compassion out there for it? Well, I mean, he can be compassionate to people who smoke and drink and cuss and carry on and chase loose women and loose men and do all those wrong things. Of course, they're going to hell. But he can have compassion for them. He just doesn't feel the need for any of them to have health insurance, even if it's sort of a free market. He don't want none of his confiscatory tax dollars going to support nobody's insurance who ain't, you know, him.
I have very few health problems, but I'm having to pay for everybody else's health problems. If my health insurance reflected my lifestyle...
Oh, Bible's... Yeah, Bible verse moment. Pride goeth before a fall, you son of a bitch.
My health insurance would be really, really, really cheap. But when I'm having to pay for everybody else's bad decisions, that's what socialism does. It brings everything to the same level of mediocrity.
Mediocrity. Yeah, that's it's those mediocre gay and trans people who don't, because you know what? There aren't any gay people in America who don't drink and smoke and carry on and have bad ex. I would think David Barton, being David Barton, I bet he's been out there on Grindr a couple or dozen times. And, you know, there's a real, and it, you know, straight, gay, what have you, there's a fitness kick in America. So, how does that fit in David Barton's, well, you know, he makes up stories from history. Why shouldn't he make up this too? Okay, yeah. I got some cowbell for you there, Jeremy in Vermont. Maybe he should drink or smoke a little something to help clear up his clearly hidden underlying issues, keyword lying. What a fucktard. Can the congregation provide an amen? Amen, yes. Don't you love that? Every gay person in America is just a walking, ticking time bomb of bad lifestyle choices and disease and innards going bad, and probably like we was talking about the other night, probably smoke cigarettes Jerry Lewis style, one between each finger, one up each nose, five across the mouth, two at one in each ear, damn straight. Silent R. Lamar asking, can he explain babies with cancer? Well, of course he can. That's original sin. See, babies that have cancer got an extra big double dose of the sin of filthy Eve when they were born and passing out of that filthy place where babies have to come from. But when mama's not real sinful, it's like she's been, before she gives birth, it's like she gets a miraculous douche from Almighty God that just vinegar and waters all the original sin right out of her, so there's just a little bit left inside the baby. And it's those babies that don't get cancer. See, that's... Yeah, I'm going to be showering with bleach after Malloy again. Mm-hmm. So, being as how it's... prayer meeting Wednesday. I thought that would be, he makes stuff. Look, if David Barton said, you know what, the sky's blue, I would fully expect to walk outside and see a pink sky with white polka dots in it. He's that much of a liar. So let us leave David Barton and jaunt on over. Because remember, it was just a few nights ago that we got to celebrate that magnificently awful rendition of Staying Alive, in which no one on the stage there at the Jim Baker program could remember anything about the song except, ah, 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 Staying Alive, Staying Alive. That was it. And of course, they were doing Staying Alive because... that's what you're going to be doing if only you crank out $1,600 a month for Jim Baker bucket pudding. I still feel dirty every time I say bucket pudding. Ron and Raleigh with a comment from the congregation. Another asshole. Brother Barton is another asshole that believes that his insurance premiums go into an account with his name on it, and his payouts come from there, and if that sumbitch is so goddamn healthy, why does he have insurance at all? Yeah. I mean, why not just trust Jesus? Well, because trusting Jesus only goes so far when all that evil catches up with you and just wells up all at once like one great big nasty... hypocrisy zit. Meanwhile, Robert in Australia points out being in a car crash is a health issue, and no amount of exercise or not drinking or not smoking will help you with a broken leg, a cracked skull, and a punctured spleen. Let's leave spleens out of this, Robert, okay? Just for the sake of mine. That's one thing that won't be happening on vacation. I won't be playing golf. Years and years and years ago, that would have been a big part of it, but not this time. Nope, no golf for Bob. Because of Bob's spleen. But Robert's right. Being in a car crash is a health issue. But you see, God's never going to let David Barton get into a car crash because, well, it just lucky that way, I guess. Oh, and by the way, since Robert brings up car crashes, it's an old statistic. Maybe it's changed by now. But I remember a long, long time ago when I saw that national statistic that said that 48, it was either 48% of car crashes or 48% of automotive fatalities were caused by drunk drivers. And on first blush, I remember looking at that and saying, son of a bitch. That's a lot. That's really, well, I tell you what, those drunk drivers, they really are a menace on the roads. Until I stepped back and all that larning and book larning and, you know, got lots of book sense, no common sense. That's what they say around here. If you got past graduating the sixth grade and got yourself a nickel squirter and a blue search suit. But then I got, wait a minute. That means 52% of the automotive fatalities or car crashes or whatever it was were caused by sober people. Yeah, there you go. As Jim points out, Diana, queen of so many hearts, Jim simply says, too much Mr. Thing. That would have qualified as a health problem. Hypocrisy. So last week we had the terrible, terrible, terrible bucket pudding rendition of Staying Alive that was nothing but the chorus. And I understand it's hard to remember really complicated words like, well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk, music loud and women warm, I've been kicked around since I was born, and now it's all right, it's okay, and you may look the other way, we can try to understand the New York Times' effect on man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. Feel the city breaking and everybody shaking, and we're staying alive, staying alive. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Staying alive, staying alive. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Staying alive. Yeah, I can see where maybe that whole part about I'm a woman's man, you know, I mean, Jessica Hahn, all of that. It was Jessica Hahn, was it? Right, yeah. Maybe Jim Baker didn't want that in the program, but still, he's deeply concerned about all of us and that great morning that's coming when everybody's going to starve who doesn't have Jim Baker bucket pudding. Now here's a question: if you go back to, I believe, the 25th chapter of Matthew, there's nothing in there about feeding the hungry as long as they can afford 1,600 shekels a month for your bucket pudding. It just says, you know, feed people, clothe the naked, house the homeless, visit people who are sick, try to heal them, visit people who are in prison. Right, that's it. Yeah, but, well, no. Jim Baker is selling this at rock bottom prices, you know, the same way Alex Jones does. I forget which one it was that John Oliver mentioned. Some formula in a brown bottle and an eyedropper that you can buy off the shelves for $3, and, you know, Alex Jones charges $25 for it. Ah, thank you. Little update from Scott and Punky. From 2011, Reverend David Wilkerson killed in Texas car crash. He was 79. Yeah, but see, he didn't cost the health insurance system a whole lot of money. Praise Jesus. See, that's one of those miraculous ways Jesus works. So he protects his followers by murdering them so they don't have to have hospital bills. But anyway, Hard times are coming. Hard times are coming. Just trust Brother Jim Baker.
The news, though, is crazy.
Oh,
evil,
it's insane.
Evil, evil. And what you know, how they're trying to destroy the president and his family.
Yeah.
Is this, God is speaking to me about it. What he is saying is he is going to send judgment, and he's going to judge some people that we can't judge. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not to judge people, but he can judge.
Yeah.
And I believe there's going to be some things happening, and we're going to be shocked. There's coming a time when that's when he said, the Bible says there will be no food to eat. And if you do get any food, you have to sign over to the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. That means you've sold your soul to the devil.
Right.
You know what's interesting out of all that? You would think from the way he talks about Revelations there that there's been no other times on earth when there was no food to eat. Jim, buddy, did you send any of your bucket pudding over to South Sudan? What did you do when the global effort to help ease the famine conditions in Ethiopia that resulted in, say, we are the world? What did you what did you do that? Oh yeah, you were hustling something else, weren't you, buddy? Sure you were. But it's only real hunger if white people who have never experienced it before experience it. Then it's the devil at work. I mean, he can't even be bothered to take note of the historical fact that there was a whole shitload of white people who plumb near starved to death during the Great Depression and, say, you know, the Dust Bowl. Clarity points out Bangladesh and that. But, you know, not white people, so it wasn't the massive starvation that tripped over, fell on his head, what the hell ever John of Patmos was talking about. No, this is a worldwide devil-inspired hunger that can only be cured by $1,600 a month bucket pudding.
And you say, oh, it will never be that evil. What's going on right now?
I don't know. I don't see the skin hanging off your bones there, Jim. Of course, then again, you can have all the bucket pudding you want to eat. Then again, you wouldn't touch that shit with a 10-foot battle lance. Instead preferring, I mean, you know, once in a while you'll stick a spoonful of it in your gob just to prove to the rubes out in the audience that it can be consumed by human beings without, you know, immediate death following. But, right, no, bring on the Chateaubriand for Jim Baker.
Half of America hates Jesus Christ. Half of America wants to destroy the president.
No, Jim, unless you're Jesus Christ, half of America does not hate Jesus Christ. 80% of America claims to be some kind of religious, and the better part of them are Christians. So, you know, just more, again, with the lying. Hey, at least I didn't lead with a story of a priest raping somebody. But look, to take our victories where we get them.
Because he's standing up to save babies, that he stands up for religious freedom,
right?
And all. And they're making him...
And all. That's the part that makes it the and all. He stands up for babies' religious freedom and all. Yeah. By the way, David in South Carolina, Stan, pointing out with regard to the staying alive thing, Sam Cedar did that clip today from Jim Baker. We are so far ahead of the curve. That's right. That's right, David. If you're a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, you're so far out ahead of the curve that everything out there looks like straight road.
Mm-hmm. Him out as the Antichrist, as an evil person.
Only because he is.
This is what's really, really sad. And it's time to be prepared, because it's coming a time when it'll be too late.
Yes.
To get ready.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be a hellish 42 months.
Yes.
On planet Earth, mm-hmm. as it says right here in the Bible.
42 months, you're going to have to stockpile a shitload of bucket pudding. And by the time you're done eating it, I think you're going to be pretty well convinced that you would have been better off starving to death, because you're not going to be happy. Robert in Australia with a note. Would God just get on the television every Friday night and tell everybody what she, he, it wants instead of speaking privately to these special people? It'd save a lot of time and clear up a lot of issues. Yeah, and it'd put those bastards out of business, too. I mean, Robert, are you trying to make Jim Baker eat the bucket pudding? Is that how mean-spirited you are, Robert? I'm just asking. But he's only God. He can't. Look, he's been around for several thousand years, and I think he pretty much gave up when he stopped chiseling words into stone on top of a mountain. After that, it's all pretty much downhill. I mean, a guy that can't handle papyrus is probably, well, I mean, hell, the advent of the VCR was probably enough for good old Jehovah. He's still got a Betamax up there in heaven, and the damn thing is still blinking 12, okay?
And he says that your silver and your gold is going to be worthless.
That's right.
So people have been storing away silver and gold for the last days.
Ooh, now that's some clever marketing, isn't it? Everybody else is out there pitching, buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Gold is your best hedge against inflation and worldwide apocalypse. Buy gold. But Jim Baker's got something better than gold. Jim Baker's got bucket pudding. Yeah, it's going to be trade. Here, I have a mighty hefty 15-pound bag of gold here, mister. You reckon you could trade me one of your bucket puddings there for my 15-pound bag of gold? This is a talent of gold. Could you do that? Please? No, sir, your gold's no good here. Yeah, move along. Go somewhere and starve out of sight of us. We don't like to hear the screaming. It ruins our bucket pudding meals.
Yeah.
The only thing that you are going to want when these times come is going to be food to eat.
Yeah.
And that's why we've spent our ministry for the last years putting together this food for survival.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Still labeled Staying Alive. Robert pointing out, eating bucket pudding for 42 months would probably kill you. What's in it? Sugar and chocolate? P.S. I still have a functioning Betamax. Robert may be God. That's all I can say. No, I wouldn't insult you that way, Robert. I knew that. Well, you know, there are, sure. And it probably works great. And it was a better format than VHS anyway. It was one of the great rare marketing failures of the Sony Corporation. And because, just to wrap things up, and then I really do, I got, because, I mean, I'm presuming here, I'm doing it again. I'm guessing that a certain program didn't begin its day today talking about sex robots, and that, oh no, probably couldn't talk about the press conference signing statement over the Russia sanctions bill. Okay, so I better cover that. Okay, we'll get to that. But I got a couple of stories that are so just monumentally stupid that they have to be gotten to. They're not. Earth-shattering stories. They're not. They're not of global significance, at least not yet. That's right, Clarity. Jim Baker bucket pudding, flan for the common man. Bo bo bo, oh bo bo, bucket pudding. Yeah. No more singing tonight. I promise. We've still got $150 to go to meet Sister Chris's challenge, and if I sing anymore, we will be screwed. So no more singing. But they're a loving bunch, these Christians. But there are other stories to get to in the second hour, conversation as well. But these two manifestations of great big giant oh my God stupid. One's international, one's domestic. I try to have some balance here, and maybe some, maybe some Trump coverage. People say, "Hey, Bob, why do you focus so much on these religious maniacs on Wednesday?" Because it's a way not to talk about Trump. I'm so Trumped out. I'm Trump stultified. I'm stulta Trumped. And it's so easy to fall into that, too. And I don't like it. Because there is other stuff out there to talk about. But before we wrap up Prayer Meeting Wednesday, just a couple of manifestations of God's love. How about Rick Wiles? Isn't it Rick? I never can remember. Is it Rick Wiles that had Gator the dog Gator the golden retriever dog that barked at the blow up spiders at Halloween because he knew they had demons in him? Is that Rick Wiles? I can never recall. Yeah, I think it is. He's the guy that runs that goofball program, True News, and it's all tax free. Hallelujah. Well. Jim Baker's talking about what we're going to eat when the end times come, and your gold is no good, and the only people who will survive to see Christ and be called to put the Jews to the sword when they refuse to confess the Godhead of Christ. And the only people that will live to do that are people that are eating bucket pudding. I'm presuming that bucket pudding is kosher because, I mean, won't they want to offer a bowl of bucket pudding to Jeebus? When he comes back in his holy rolls, or is he bringing pastrami on rye? I don't know. So you got that going on. But the question is, that's going to be 42 months of hell. But how are we going to get there? Well, helping us with that is Rick Wiles' job. Well, okay, Steve from Georgia, Stan, why would any idiot buy bucket pudding? Just get a couple of cases of tuna fish and peanut butter. But the thing is, bucket pudding has a shelf life, according to Jim Baker, of like 16 years. As long as you don't introduce water to it. 16 years. I'm guessing whatever little commune tribe you're living in, I'm guessing after maybe 2 months of bucket pudding, I'm thinking they'll probably self-extinct. They'll just kill each other. Not one more day of bucket pudding. No. I'd rather die. Right. But so we've got that. And wait a minute, Steve, honest to God, are you telling me you're into tuna fish and peanut butter? I mean, I like strawberries and oysters, but not together. If there's a recipe that makes tuna fish and peanut butter taste good together, I want to know it. But let's get back to Rick Wiles. How are we going to get to those hellish hell on earth days? Who's going to take us there? How is it going to come about? You know how it's going to come about? Reading.
And here's another sign. We've entered the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just do this assignment for me. You'll see that I'm not exaggerating. Enter into Google News the words drag queens and libraries. Be prepared for what you will read. and the photographs you will see, it will make you want to vomit.
Actually, what it makes you want to do is Google drag queens and libraries, which I will now do. Okay, first we're going to have to go to Google because I don't think it counts if you use Bing. I don't like Bing, but somehow it defaults. So we'll go to Google. Drag queens and, well, drag queens and gender identity, drag queens and kings, drag queens and feminism, drag queens and limousines. By God, that sounds like a lyric, and I'll bet it is. Drag queens and L gets you, it keeps you in limousines. Well, there's drag queens London. Drag queens and limousines gives you, drag queens and L-I gives you drag queens and limousines, drag queens and limousines lyrics, drag queens and limousines chords, or drag queens Liverpool. Liverpudlian drag queens. Drag queens and Libro Sobre. I don't even speak Spanish. I got nothing. Drag queens and library. Drag queens and Libra compatibility. Yeah, okay. He must be upset about something he read in the USA Today. Images. Let's check that too, because we're gonna want to vomit. Remember, we're gonna want to vomit. Oh my God! I think I'm going to vomit. Not. It's a drag queen reading storybooks to children who, you know, aren't sexually aware or much into gender at, you know, that just past potty training stage. But, oh, it makes Rick Wiles want to vomit. Dateline Indianapolis. Forget pajamas and cartoons. For Jalapeno, Ida Kay, and Blair St. Clair, Saturday morning meant story time for a room of children and dress-up story time at that. The occasion? Drag queen story time at the Indianapolis Central Library. The trio read tales with superhero themes to the kids who sprawled out on the floor, in the seats, and on parents' lap in Clowes Auditorium. Clowes, C-L-O-W-E-S, no clues. On the program were 10 Rules of Being a Superhero, Princess Super Kitty, My Mom Has X-Ray Vision, and crafts that included mask making and coloring. The trio took turns reading the books, sprinkling color commentary throughout that appealed to the few dozen kids and adults. I worked that little bit of Jim Kirkism into the end, just, you know, for the sake of Draymaw. Right. Well, okay, so I presume he's had it. Yeah, you know what's vomit-inducing? That goddamn Wallet Hub commercial that runs on MSNBC. I fucking hate it. I mean, it's like freaking clockwork. No sooner do I sit, I go to the kitchen, Agnes either goes and gets our yogurt and coffee, or I go and get our yogurt and coffee, come back to the bedroom, sit down to watch our filthy little morning habit, and the minute they go to break, there's this woman, and the commercial begins with her vomiting a mouthful of milk into the sink. I think I've mentioned this before. I used to think it only ran on MSNBC in the mornings. No, they run it at night, too. Usually it manages to come on just as I'm getting the first spoonful of yogurt into my maw. Blah! That's terrible! What, the milk? No, my credit score is old! Who waits this shit? Sorry, I seem to have digressed a bit from my initial topic. Back to Rick Wiles and his library book reading drag queens. Jeremy in Vermont, by the way, pointing out, dear Jesus fucking jumping Christ, this is clearly another lying fuck who needs to drink or smoke a little something to help confess an underlying issue. These people will never understand. To thyself be true.
in libraries across America and Great Britain, too. Sodom and Gomorrah.
Wait, so we've got a story about a library in Indianapolis, and it suddenly becomes worldwide drag queen library storybook reading time. Wouldn't you hate to? It's bad enough thinking about what goes on inside, you know, Gator's mind, having to be the dog of this guy, I think. I don't even what kind of spidery, demon-infested, marching Godzilla, goddamn three-headed dragons with night. What happens when this fucker closes his eyes? And by the way, the three-headed demon Godzilla thing that chases him through the night is wearing a, you know, fabulous cocktail frock and a really long blonde wig and overdone eye makeup.
Mora drag queens are being invited by librarians to read stories to children. The mission of Drag Queen Storytime is to promote literacy, diversity, and artistic expression. Promoters say they want children to experience the fun of being around drag queens. Doc, God have mercy.
Well, apparently God doesn't have a problem with it. Because wouldn't he have, like, lightning bolted the drag queens or magically put, or you know, an even worse fate, magically made them appear wearing, you know, a goddamn Brooks Brothers suit and really uncomfortable Oxford shoes?
This nation. America has become a wicked nation. Worse than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
Wow. Drag queens reading storybooks to little children is worse than people, men, raping allegedly the alleged virgin daughters of Lot. You know, you really can't beat the moral values, the ethical hierarchy of evangelical Christianity.
Worse than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Worse!
We're wicked. We're perverse. We deserve judgment. I'm sorry, all of you charismatic prophets out there. We deserve judgment. We're not going to prosper with the blessings of God on us because we deserve judgment.
Never mind, but his buddy, Trumpius Maximus, was just declaring like yesterday or so how awesome he is because the Dow Jones Industrial Average just crossed 22,000. We're not going to be prosperous.
We're existing because God is merciful.
Yes.
He's merciful to his church that is weeping over these things.
You know, one of these days, one of the other ones, is going to get one of his followers to go out and start murdering people. I mean, again, some more. That's right, Clarity. Gomorrah is now in downtown Indianapolis, just like Eden is over in that little corner of Missouri that's inhabited by our buddy Hoghead. See how it works? Sure you do. Yep. Nope. Crazy.
Read Ezekiel 9. Read Revelation 9. The saints that are marked by God.
Number 9.
They're weeping. He's merciful because of the saints that are weeping over the sins of the nation. And he's merciful because he's giving the lost more time to repent before the nation is destroyed.
Yeah, that's the only reason he's withholding judgment.
That's right.
Amazing how they know the mind of the almighty creator of the universe. You know that speech that God gives to Job there about, you know, were you in the whirlwind? It's a real bullshit speech. But you'd almost think that maybe people like this creep have it coming too. You know, a little humility. Oh, I know the mind of the almighty creator of the universe, some bitch. Meanwhile, note coming from Australia, Robert. 42 months of bucket pudding, and then all you have to do is rebuild society. Learn how to farm without machinery. Petrol only lasts a few years before breaking down, so unless you know how to operate an oil refinery and have some fresh oil, learn how to preserve food without refrigeration or electricity. Don't get sick unless you have reserves of every drug ever and a surgeon on hand. Basically, you'll be starting from zero after a 42-month diet of bucket pudding. Just watch out for the cannibals who also survived. There was a lot of that during the First Crusade when the food ran out. Yeah. Humans, we're flawed. You look really good today. You look really good today, Bill. Why, thank you. No, I mean, you look really good today. I'm thinking fricasseed, maybe barbecued. Hell, a little Bill Carpaccio, right? And just checking out, Ron and Raleigh's right there. So, not evil during 400 years of chattel slavery. Nope, doesn't count. White folks only, thanks. One cross only, line on the left.
There's no other reason. He's merciful to get more people into the kingdom. How long do you think the righteous holy God is going to allow America's sodomites to defile the children?
By reading rules for superheroes to them, or Super Kitty. I tell you what, that's some defiling going on. Interesting that their holy book contains that passage where Jacob's only daughter, Dinah, is bargained off as a piece of property to the prince of some local, you know, goat herder. And then they all go in, and then Jacob demands that they all get the ends of their dicks cut off. And they say, oh, okay, you know, because the prince was really happy with Dinah. Dinah was really happy with the prince. And then when they're all kind of laid out, having had their dicks hacked on, the children of Israel, because Jacob was going around calling himself Israel by then, he was on the lam, the children of Israel go in and murder the living shit out of all the guys who've had their dicks, parts of their dicks cut off. Priorities, strange priorities. Michael in Madison with a note. Subject line, Melania reading to children. I don't want to upset the delicate sensitivities of the congregation, but if you put Melania reading to children into Google Images, there are many pictures of a pornographic model reading to our children. What must righteous holy God think of us? Well, we're going to take your word for it, Michael, because I don't think anybody's really willing to do that, because we wouldn't want our computer monitors to catch fire or our eternal souls be forever damned. Ron asking, I wonder, does this Humyuckle realize that not all drag queens are gay? No, because when he's furiously masturbating with both hands late at night after the wife has gone to sleep after 6 or 7 or 12 or 13 martinis, all his drag queens are gay. And they're being really sweet to him. I'm not saying, just saying. You know, latency, closets, big ones. Steve in New York says, I have to ask, when I hear this, I have to wonder, how is it that the God Jesus I hear about at my church is so much different than this? The Beatitudes seem to be the furthest thing from their minds. Oh, that's because it is the furthest thing from their minds. The nearest thing to their minds is upgrading from the Maybach to the Bugatti. From, you know, a twin-engine plane to a goddamn, you know, Cessna personal jet. Going from the 42-foot yacht to the 70-footer. Or maybe getting real, you know, real ambitious and going up to the 225-foot Oyster. That's a brand of yacht. Holy shit. You could win like the Powerball tonight and still not be able to afford to run a 250-foot Oyster. Just say it. That's why. GK with a note. Nine. Maybe that's where the Beatles got the lyrics. Number nine. In one of their songs, the title and album name escapes me. That would be Revolution Number 9 from the White Album. The Beatles, must have read those passages this asshat blathers on about. Quite possibly.
How long? They're defiling the children. It's bad enough that they defile themselves. It's bad enough that they lead other adults.
It's bad enough that this fucker's worried about drag queens reading rules for superheroes to toddlers. And yet, I've had lots and lots of clips and shared them with you of this evil bastard. And never once has he asked how long God will put up with youth ministers who groom and then fuck little children. Not Roman Catholics, Protestants, evangelicals, just like him. Never once have I heard him ask that question. But by God, the little children are going to be defiled by having a storybook read to them by a drag queen. Probably overstating my case, but is it any wonder that Christianity is dying among everybody except those people who don't have much to speak of in the way of edumacation? Is it any wonder? 'Cause it's not to me. I've had enough of this freak. Sadly, I have more freaks. But I'm going to leave the freaks alone. Because we've got some real live, genuine, stupid. And some might even say hilarious stupid to get into in fairly short order. Once again, we've got $150 to go to meet Sister Chris's challenge. And that's amazing that we've made it that far that fast. Sister Chris's vacation challenge. Hopefully we will get there. But for now, we're going to take a little break. I've got one call on hold, but the stress line is open. 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. Works well for some. Not for others. Oh, goddamn auto run. I hate it. Yeah. Nope. It's gone now. So, yeah, break time. Long distance dedication going out to David Barton. From all of us heathens here at the Horn. Praise, glory, here endeth the lesson. I'm Bob Kincaid.
living inside.
Yeah, that really worked out as a long-distance dedication, didn't it? From a very, very, very long time ago. Adam and the Ants. Adam Ant. I think that's after he went solo. And Goody Two Shoes. 17 minutes past the hour, and Jim has been patiently waiting. Hey, Jim.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, Joseph.
Your last song did it to me. Tell me, before we go any further, have you ever heard of Lil Wayne and Truffle Butter?
That seems to be on a neuron somewhere, but I can't connect it to anything.
Well, you just take a listen at the ideological, or whatever you call it, the universal or of dictionary about Truffle Butter, and you try to find Lil Wayne on there singing it. That would be some great bridge music for some people. I know they'd love it.
Now you're not talking about Lil Wayne. I mean, isn't he like a rapper or something?
Yeah.
So are we talking about the same person?
Yeah, we talk about the same person.
Okay.
And anyway, away from Truffle Butter. Ugh. I shouldn't even mention that. No, do you remember a film called Sodom and Gomorrah with Stuart Granger and Anouk Aimee? She played the Queen of Sodom. Have you ever seen that?
No, but I think it's going to be in my future now, Jim.
Well, there is one line in it when this guy screams, "Beware of Sodomite patrols." Ding-a-ling-a-ling. And I had this friend, every time he would get about half pissed or drunk, would yell at my front window at people going by in the street, "Beware of Sodomite patrols." I could have killed him.
Why? That's delightful. Of course, I guess it depends on the neighborhood.
It was a good neighborhood, and these were ladies who lived in a very nice Episcopal retirement home down the street, and they shouldn't quite understand it. Anyway, that's okay. That was in the past. This fool, he was from Manchester and is still the Royal or the Rare Book Librarian Emeritus of the University of South Carolina. Nuts. But another thing, speaking of drag queens, this is another movie I want to talk about just for a second, and that is called To Wong Fu with Love, Julie Newmar.
Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar, yes.
Yep, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Thank you, Daddy. And
Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo.
Keep it up. You have to sit down to be able to get to us one now.
Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo.
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes, yes, absolutely.
And also, in the end, it had, of all people, that statuesque beauty.
Julie Newmar. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people couldn't handle why they did that movie. And, you know, my response to them, I said, listen, if they could do that movie, and I said, anybody could, as far as being a drag queen concerned, it was hilarious. But I said, more than the hilarity of it, it was simply about people helping other people.
Right. Yeah.
And that was the lesson of that particular film. Absolutely.
Hey, Jim, you've got some kind of speaker going in the background.
No, I don't either. It's in my brain, Bob.
Is it your TV or what?
No, it's really a tooth that I have that I get messages from and a feeling.
Oh, this is the discreet broadcast from NSA Central Headquarters in Langley or something, right?
Mm-mm. This is from Al's planet, from Miramar, or Miramax, or whatever the hell that planet was. Except Rufus doesn't like me to talk about Alf because, you know, Alf loves to eat cats.
True enough.
But anyway, this guy going on about drag queens and stuff like that, I don't understand that. I mean, are they going to have these guys dial up and go raid the kids?
No, he wants them to all die, He wants to kill drag queens. I mean, it's pretty obvious that he's a homicidal maniac.
Well, you know, drag queens, by and large, are extremely passive people. They don't bother anybody. All they want to do is sort of either get up in their whatever they get up in, and I guess achieve their own sense of style. I've never heard too many drag queen murders. I think even Anthony Hopkins brought that particular fact out in Silence of the Lambs when he talks about transvestites and drag queens. But, you know, maybe that was just movie dialogue, but I've heard that from other people, too, who are in the mental health profession. So that much of that film was valid, that dialogue was.
And you know, part of the problem, Jim, is a lack of understanding, and the fact that there are just like human sexuality, there are shades and gradations that run all the, at least according to the Kinsey scale, that run all the way from gay to straight and everything in between, and then within the gender community, there's also a continuum, a scale.
Listen, I used to see him in Kroger on Saturday night of Harper Road. And there were two guys who lived together. Yeah. And that's when they had a gay bar here. And also, there was another girl who lived next door. And Kim told me, she said, hell, Jim, if I need any expert advice on my makeup or hair, I go to them. They do it for me. They know more about it than I do.
Well, there's probably
some great. Reason. It's great. It's like having a beauty parlor next door. They did furnish a service for this young lady, and they did. I will admit, but I'll be in the program.
How many male celebrities have been caught up in embarrassing escapades and episodes in which they were caught cruising for trans people? Okay, I mean, there's, and so, you know, you'll never convince me that these guys who fulminate and pontificate for the purposes of their tax-exempt religious hustles, you'll never convince me that they're quite as upset by the people they're complaining about as they let on. I think it has a hell of a lot more to do with fascination than it does with revulsion.
Well, I think in his case, me thinks that does protest too much, and he probably, when the shades are drawn and nobody can look in, he's probably prancing around in stiletto heels and, oh, I don't know, a Chanel suit. No, he wouldn't wear Chanel. He didn't have enough taste to wear Chanel.
By the way, along the way, when you were mentioning movies on the theme, a couple of people have pointed out, particularly Robert in Australia. You left out The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
I saw that, but I never could get much into it, to tell you the truth. I just never cared for it too much, but it was okay. But Tung Wong Fu and also that excerpt from Sodom and Gomorrah, when that guy just screams out of his dialogue.
Some member of the Horn research staff will find that. And that clip will be added to the movie clip player file, because you never know when Beware of the Sodomite Patrols might come in handy, say, on a prayer meeting Wednesday.
Well, that's true. I'm sure you probably find good use for it. But like I say, the main star, Stuart Granger, plays Lot. And Anouka May, who was a very beautiful projector at the time, plays the Queen of Sodom. And so... for the 50s, it was a pretty good movie. Had a great destruction scene in it. I mean, they had real good special effects. And, you know, I just remember that. But anyway, I just wanted to remind people about that. Beware, or what I say, Julie Newmar film. And how these people came into this strange town in Pennsylvania, someplace like that, and actually allowed women to have their own actuality as far as their makeup and just their personalities are concerned, their personas are concerned, and it put one wife beater to shame. And that was one of the best part about it, is when a drag queen knocked the shit out of this guy who used to beat his wife.
Yeah, it's a good movie. And you know what? It's also it's three damned good acting performances on the parts of Wesley Snipes, John Leguizamo, and Patrick Swayze.
Well, from start to finish, particularly when they're getting ready. And, you know, there's Wesley Snipes up there kicking those red heel pumps. Actually, he's putting his hose on. And they were using this song, something about the body. And then, they had this drag ball. But the thing about it is, I forgot to mention this, there's a drag ball. Remember how RuPaul comes down on a trapeze? And she is dressed in a dress that is across, it's like a Confederate flag. And her drag name is Miss Rachel Tension.
Might be time for a rewatch.
I think so. You don't remember RuPaul descending on
now that you mention it, yes, I do. But
was that Confederate flag dress on?
it's been rather a very long time.
Yeah, well, it has. It's a good film, but I still watch it from time to
time.
And
I probably got any number of Bubbas all worked up.
Oh, it did. As a matter of fact, I thought when I was TDY and these other military types were going to see one movie, and it was a war movie, and they said, well, how do you like this other movie? I said, you know, there's too much shooting in there for me. I just don't like the sounds of that stuff. I saw the other one. You mean that drag queen thing? I said, yeah. I said, you ought to go see it. I said, you know, it's basically about people helping instead of hurting each other and blowing each other to pieces.
Well, so much for peace is our profession, huh?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, by the way, you will be you'll be pleased to know, ran across this story. You know, there's been considerable pushback over Marcus Aurelius's trans ban, but probably the strongest statement yet has come from Admiral Paul Zukunft of the United States Coast Guard. Zukunft. Zukunft.
Okay, I was thinking about Zumwalt.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Zukunft. Fine Irish name, that. He said the first thing that he did after seeing Trump's little transphobic hissy, he said, I reached out personally to Lieutenant Taylor Miller, who was featured on the cover of the Washington Post last week. If you read that story, Taylor's family has disowned her. Her family is the United States Coast Guard. And I told Taylor, I will not turn back. I will not turn my back. We have made an investment in you, and you have made an investment in the Coast Guard, and I will not break faith.
Well, that's what he should have said. I mean, you know, that's a hell of a lot. They talk about money. It takes a hell of a lot to train a soldier.
But I mean, that's
an investment that you want to have a return upon, you know?
That's a pretty
turn them out.
But that's a pretty gutsy statement on behalf of the head man over at the Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just wonder what the new chief of staff is going to say about it, since he's a 4-star Marine general. I don't know. I mean, you know, he seems to try to make an effort of getting a little order in that dump of a White House that's just been referred to today.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I hadn't gotten to it yet. What? Is the President of the United States now Bette Davis? You know, puffing
what
on a...
What a dump.
Yes, exactly. I don't think she ever actually said that, but still.
Yes, she did. And Liz Taylor made it, you know, famous in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, when she was trying to get her husband George to recall what movie it came from. Yes, she did. But,
okay.
You know, I guess it's his penthouse, supposedly, is modeled after Versailles. That's what I've heard today, that his penthouse is modeled after the main halls of Versailles. I bet it's got so much gold and gilt and mirrors. I bet it's just absolutely tacky.
Well, look, It is tacky. And what that man thinks is classy is downright atrocious. Leave the Baroque in the Baroque. But he apparently, and you know, this is typical of nouveau riche, okay? And the Trumps are nouveau riche. No taste.
Well, he would say
nothing but money.
No, yeah. Well,
and probably
know,
not
have
that,
money like that. But.
And probably not that much money. That's what's going to come out of all of this. He's brokering the Ten Commandments and poor as Job's turkey, relatively speaking.
I'm sure Marjorie Meriwether Post, who built Mar-a-Lago originally, is turning her ashes are turning over at that little thing at her home in Washington, D.C., when she sees what he said to her place that was really, really an epitome of elegance. I bet he's put more faux gold and faux this and faux that in there than you can throw a boule boost.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I think, mercifully, the White House is now. It used to be when a president came in, and to a certain extent it still happens. You know, the first lady gets to do some redecorating, buy some new drapes, that kind of stuff. Historically speaking, at the time that Abraham Lincoln took office, it had been the White House had been previously inhabited by our only bachelor president, James Buchanan, who proved himself hopelessly inept at trying to avoid what was coming toward him. Yeah, people think of Lincoln in talking about the Civil War, but they don't realize that the Civil War actually, everything that happened to cause it, happened during the Buchanan administration. And prior to the Buchanan administration, it had been inhabited, the White House, by the Pierce administration. And Franklin Pierce is roundly and routinely recognized as among America's worst presidents, and certainly the drunkest. He was
Barbara Bush would love me for saying that, because that's one of her ancestors.
You're damn right it is. And and so, you know, the apple falleth not far from the generational tree, and you wind up with George W. Bush, a dry drunk in the White House, whereas Franklin Pierce, his distant ancestor, was a wet drunk in the White House. But the thing is, during those 8 years prior to the arrival of Lincoln, the White House really had been allowed to fall into significant disrepair. And it probably was a dump.
At it when the Kennedys moved in. What Jackie Kennedy described it as? She said the Lupianca is better decorated. And, you know, Mrs. Kennedy was not known for her lack of taste. You know, the Eisenhowers had left it. You know, they didn't care much about it. I mean, you know, right before that, they had to reconstruct the whole building because it was falling apart. Remember, they had that big overhaul during Truman's administration?
Right.
But when Mrs. Kennedy came in, that's when she started that thing to collect all these antiques from people and really make an effort to re-beautify that White House and make it look like a shining example of what a person with taste could do.
And see, that's the thing. Trump has no taste. Melanoma has taste only in what, you know, in whatever cash she can lay her hands on.
And where she can drape around her shoulders and her waist or whatever. So is she going to be reading to children too? if they do a bullwinkle, she'd be great for Natasha.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, Boris and Natasha. I still love that show even today.
It's a classic. I mean, there's never a time when TV, you can't just go turn on the TV somewhere and find some Bullwinkle. No, you got to go find it online. But it's certainly worth the effort.
It is. And it is.
And last week, of course, at the great age of her high 90s, I think. The woman who voiced, and Ron and Raleigh reminded me of this, the woman who voiced Rocky the Flying Squirrel finally passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
She was probably among the last, if not the last, of the Bullwinkle voices who were still extant and not pining for the fjords.
Oh, my God. I remember one time they were crying about, they were scared of what they call Bullwinkle becoming some type of weapon, or they call him the Flying Moosile.
Oh, the Ruby Yacht of Omar Khayyam. Just great stuff. Jim, I got to roll because other people want to get on here, but I thank you for getting the conversation started.
Well, you take it easy now, and I'll just have to do something about that tooth.
Yeah, you do. You do that. You do that. Bye now.
Ah.
Our buddy Jim calling from not too terribly far from here. I said I was going to share some. I got to share this. This is some of the most manifest stupidity that. And both lines are open now. Is 304-574-8178 or 304-663-4676. As well as Skype to Skype from anywhere on planet Earth, or the Pleiades, as the case may be. I got to share this with you. I filed this under thanks, Jill. No, really, thanks. And I have, now look, if somebody from Brooklyn, like, you know, our buddy Brandon writes and tells me, "No, that's a big joke, Bob." I'll take that seriously. But I've researched this. The Brooklyn paper is really a thing. Colin Mixon really is a reporter for the Brooklyn paper. And this story really was posted on August the 1st. Like I said, I file this under G. Thanks, Jill. Stop helping. Apparently, there's a thing going on in which hipsters in Brooklyn, because there's been a hipster invasion of Brooklyn, a hipster gentrification, if you will. Hipsters in Brooklyn have decided, and you know, you worry about this. This is the sort of thing that you actually pay attention to and worry about in a place like West Virginia, where we've got a considerable amount of wildlife, you know, real wildlife. And I'm not talking about drag queens. I'm talking about skunks and raccoons and possums, and although possums are sort of excepted from this this list because they haven't been shown to have a problem in this regard. There's no way to... God almighty, I can't... Oh, the stupiding of this country! A growing group of hipsters in Brooklyn are deciding that they don't want to get things like rabies and distemper and kennel cough vaccines for their pets because they are afraid that their pets will get autism from the rabies and distemper and kennel cough and other various and sundry animal maladies. Dr. Amy Ford of the Veterinarian Wellness Center of Borum Hill verified the trend. Said, "We do see a higher number of clients who don't want to vaccinate their animals. This may be stemming from the anti-vaccine movement, which people are now applying to their pets." Colin Mixon writes, "The increased skepticism toward inoculating pets is likely the result of a national movement that claims vaccines can cause autism in children," according to the doctor, who said she has seen an increase in clients unwilling to have their dogs vaccinated in recent years. Core vaccines for canines include distemper, hepatitis, and rabies, which is required by law. Dr. Ford continued, "It's actually much more common in the hipstery areas. I really don't know what the reasoning is. They just feel that injecting chemicals into their pet is going to cause problems." Dr. Stephanie Liff of Clinton Hills Pure Paws Veterinary Care noted, "I had a client concerned about an autistic child who didn't want to vaccinate the dog for the same reason." And then sort of stating the obvious, Dr. Stephanie Liff pointed out, we've never diagnosed autism in a dog. I don't think you could. And, of course, Dr. Stephanie Liff of Clinton Hills Pure Paws Veterinary Clinic is absolutely right. There's no such thing as dog autism, canine autism, dogtism. It don't exist. Dogs can't have autism. Because autism is related to a person's ability, a human being's ability, to communicate and to have what we deem to be typical brain functions. Right? Yes, 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 right? Right. Oh, Jesus. Thanks, Jill. I expect that any time now there will be a mass removal of Wi-Fi from the more gentrified portions of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. These dumbasses don't even realize what rabies is, do they?
Well, you know, I mean, it's very unlikely that my dog would get rabies, and it's far greater concern to me, dude, that my dog would, like, get all autistic from, you know, the mercury in the vaccines for the rabies.
Dr. Liff also added, most trends in veterinary medicine are extensions of human medicine, so I think the anti-vaccination movement extending into veterinary medicine is natural. It's a little different. My patients go out and are exposed to things. They eat dirt. They eat poop. Hey, we should vaccinate our pets. My dog's vaccinated. My parents' dog's vaccinated. I see more diseases that can be prevented by vaccination than I see reasons not to do it. Alma pointing out, hey, Bob, maybe dogs would be speaking English by now if there hadn't been vaccinations.
Maybe. Thank you, Alma. Thank you. Absolutely. Cowbell for that.
Well, okay. Point taken. Asa points out it's too easy to hang this stupidity on dumbass Jill. But this is really the work of assholes like Andrew Wakefield et al. Jill didn't help none. Dr. Liff said, the benefits of inoculation far outweigh its slight risk. An allergic reaction is that slight risk, and the allergic reaction occurs in less than 0.04% of pooches. Look, if it doesn't work trying to explain that sort of thing to these dead-from-the-neck-up freaks, but, you know, at least if there's a rabies outbreak in Borum Hill in Brooklyn, or Clinton Square or whatever, at least we'll know why it got started. It's almost like we're a nation that doesn't want to survive, or has been so cosseted by modern technology that they have no idea what polio was, or smallpox, or rubella, or mumps, or whooping cough. You know, there's a hilarious story by Mark Twain called The Adventures of the McWilliamses and Whooping Cough. It is. It's hilarious. But as is so often the case in a Mark Twain story from the late 19th century, there's a kernel of truth in there that that demonstrates the reality of the horrors that would shake, that would rock, that would rend a community when something like whooping cough passed through. Every parent knew that every child was at risk of near immediate death. But not the anti-vaxxers. Oh, hell no. Steve in New York says, anti-vaxxers in Brooklyn. Yes, it's true. Sam Cedar, who lives in Brooklyn, reported on this. I wish it wasn't. I started out thinking it was hilarious. Now it's just goddamn tragic. We've got a few minutes left in the program. Thanks to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. Cletus and Twiggy are good puppies. Thank you very kindly. We're down to $125 to go to meet Chris's vacation challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you, Steve and Ms. Karen. Little Cletus, little Twiggy. Thank you, Terrace. So that's $105 to go. Thank you very, very much indeed. And let's go and check in with Larry. Hey, Larry.
Ooh, Bob Kincaid. Hey, brother, how are you? Hey, I have so many things I wanted to hit you with, but I was just listening to what you were talking about.
Well, as long as none of them are baseball bats, we'll be fine.
Well, I was just sitting here with my fiance. She's a nurse from Denmark, and we were talking about we always talk about these anti-vaccination people, and it just drives me nuts. I mean, has the country lost the fucking plot? I mean, it's just like, my God, let's not get, the autistic dog thing and the... You know, and these new agers in the Sparkle Bark Fairy Dust community that you mentioned sometime, we deal with them all the time on Facebook, and they're just so into this illusion, and I know Jill Stein's like that, and they all seem to be pro-Russian, and they like Trump, even though everything they're supposed to be for is completely anti that way of thinking.
Dude, Trump is going to bring the apocalypse, dude.
Oh, yeah, how many of those people, Bob, do you think could tell you how many senators there are in the U.S. Senate? Or how many congressional representatives there are.
Like, too many? We need to, like, get rid of them all and elect, like, all new ones?
Yeah, I know nothing about it, but I've got a much better plan. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's really crazy, and it's just, they get hooked into this, and it doesn't make any sense. Why is it that they would think somebody like Obama was totally the Antichrist and everything?
Dude. Dude, yeah. Obama was such a neoliberal.
Yes, he's in a bunker now.
And it was an establishment sellout too, dude.
I know, it's funny. Everything they're against is exactly what these idiots represent that they're following. It's the funniest goddamn thing ever. I mean, and they know nothing about politics. They want to fix this. And I always ask them, what are you going to do the morning after? Say your dream comes true and... You got a new government. Well, what are you going to do the morning after? Like a hangover.
Larry, they don't have to worry about that because they're never going to develop enough political eptness to be able to get anything. They're going to remain in their little cocoon of ideological purity, dude.
Bob, it's just enough to fuck up the electorate.
Yes, you're right. Guess why they've been cultivated that way then?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. It's, it goes along with, too, the New Age movement is kind of, I liken it to the Republican Party, the New Age movement, the Nazis, the Lenin communists. It's like all this white kind of nationalist, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. You take Tom Brady's wife, for instance, she's supposed to be this New Age kind of open-minded chick, yet she's probably one of the most bigoted, conservative, I don't know, man. It's weird.
Paltrow out there recommending that women stuff whale turds up their cooches. I mean, sure, why not?
Exactly. Well, if they get vaccinated, it might turn them into a gay humpback whale or blowfish or.
But then the whale would be like autistic.
Exactly.
An autistic, gay, humpback, transgendered whale.
But, you know, Bob, you know how crazy this country is. Aren't you even a little surprised that it's taken this long for some shit to come up like that?
No, not really. The longer I look at this, the more I see, because, you know, we had the internet. I was online. The first time I got online was like, 1995, something like that.
Yeah, 95 was when it became real open to people to buy, you know. We got it by the hour of where I'm at back then. It was like for the first year, you had to rent it by the hour.
Ning, 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 ning. That.
I love it.
That's when I first got online, and you know, I mean, there was stuff out there. There were websites. I mean, I remember, and we had it, and it was up and running nicely in 2000, when the election was stolen the old-fashioned way.
Oh fuck! I'm still pissed.
And 2004. No. But to get to your inquiry, am I surprised it took this long? It didn't take this long. Let me just by example, something else. So there was a story in the newspaper here in West Virginia about how a successor in interest to Monsanto has reached an agreement with the EPA whereby a long stretch of the Kanawha River is going to have what's called a stone cap placed in it, which means they're going to drop gravel in the river. Because there's like a 14-mile-long stretch of the Kanawha River that is just filthy with dioxin, okay? Deadly poison. And it's taken years and years and years. They've been like 13 years coming up with a remedy for this. And, you know, why they didn't just dredge out the dioxin soil, you know, I don't know, maybe they just, whatever. But somebody asked the question, you know, because we've known that dioxin was poisonous for a very long time. Why did it take so long for us to stop letting industry throw shit in the river? And the answer I gave was that we got the EPA in 1972. 10 years before that, roughly, Rachel Carson published Silent Spring. So it's really more like a 10-year window. Once we knew for sure what was going on, we began to take affirmative steps to try to protect the place we lived so as not to shit in our own nest. And so 10 years, that's not a bad response time for government. I know it's glacial, but still, for government. And if you apply that same line of thinking to the question you just asked, am I surprised that it took this long for us to get this stupid? It didn't, okay? And I just don't want people to blow past this, Larry, because we got this stupid in the same amount of time it took Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Vine, dead and buried, and all these other social media apps. It took us exactly as long as it took them to become ubiquitous for us to become dumber than a bag of hammer handles. Because they are the informational equivalent of disease vectors. Does that make sense to you?
It's a great point. I guess I'm kind of disappointed overall, like especially in the American human race, that we can't handle the evolvement of thinking for ourselves and using a tool like the internet to really discern information. I mean, you know, before the internet, of course, everybody was preached to through a TV or the radio. And I mean, when I look back on it, it was more convenient, but you know, there's more control measures as to what went out. But it's, you know, with the internet, you can just flood that with bullshit. And I guess it all.
That's exactly what happened. You know, the. Tell me about this. I got. Oh, sorry. I hate auto run audio so much. But that's exactly what happened.
these things were used as disease vectors, informationally speaking, and I mean no disrespect, social media was incredibly susceptible to manipulation, and people figured that out before, like, Facebook figured it out even. Facebook was still working on its advertising model when people were beginning to realize how closely they could target bullshit news stories to change public opinion. And so Facebook became the 21st century informational equivalent of blankets with which one would then infect with smallpox. And the whole country, Larry, got sick.
God, they sure did, Bob. And, you know, they just get twisted. I mean, how is it, though, they're so easily manipulated by that, but at the same time, they're so easily, okay, like I go back to Obama again and the Democrats, and people think, you know, they're evil. They're the establishment, right? They're all that. But yet these other fools, I mean, they just blindly, I mean, you've heard some of these Trump supporters, like, I know I'm all over the board, Bob. I just got so much going through my mind, but these Trump supporters are like, well, I don't care what Trump did. I don't care what he'll do. But they pick the scum. I mean, I'm not for worshiping anybody or anything, but they pick the lamest fucking scummiest asshole. Do these people want to be controlled and mind? Do they want this, do you think? Some of these people? I just...
I don't know, and I don't know that we've got time to sort this out because I got to get out of here, Larry. Time to retool and reboot.
Okay.
And I'll be back in an hour.
All right, love you, bro. Thanks.
All right, no worries. Thank you. Later. And that's our buddy Larry calling. So we find ourselves at the close of the program. We find ourselves with $105 to go to meet Chris's challenge. And hopefully that'll happen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Matt, Charlene, Stephen, Karen, Terrace. Thank you all very much. Terrace just became our, I think, fifth subscriber at Patreon. Wonderful. Thank you, Terrace. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly for being here this evening to moderate. Midweek utility pinch hit moderator, all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff in the form of our news ninjas and John Fox and Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And a reminder, if you're going to listen to Malloy as I sub for him, please listen via Progressive Voices on TuneIn. It's really cool to whip Fox News's ass, okay? Talk to you in a little bit.